This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship show on the BetRivers Network. This is the first game week preview of the season. I'm your host, George Ellick, and I'm joined by Jack Wright. Jack and I just recorded a futures video and podcast as well, which you can find on the BetRivers Network YouTube page or on any podcast provider, as well as we preview the season as a whole. But now it is time to look at the opening games of the season. I'm incredibly excited. Jack, how are you feeling about the start of the campaign?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm buzzing. I can't wait for it to start. It doesn't feel that long ago that we were seeing the end of the last campaign, but so excited for the start of this one. I think it's going to be an amazing season. So many subplots in there as well. Mm. So, yeah, really good. Some experienced managers, tried and tested, with a lot of new talent coming into the league as well. So interesting to see who wins on those.
You say it doesn't seem long. It hasn't been very long. The World Cup in Qatar means that we are starting a week early, and it felt like we only finished about 2 weeks ago as well. But here we are, ready for the new season ahead. Before we get into the preview, there is an all-new Twitter account, the Twitter handle at Because We Win. That is managed by everyone on the BetRivers network. So you can find all the different sports handicappers up there as well. And you can find our own individual Twitter handles associated to that as well. So do go and follow the at Because We Win Twitter account. But let's get into the previews. If you haven't yet listened to the futures preview, then I'd go and do so now. If you have listened to it, you'll have absolutely no surprise whatsoever where Jack is going for his first selection. Friday night football, first game of the season, Burnley travel to Huddersfield. What's going to happen?
It's going to be a Burnley win, isn't it? Absolutely. Tell how excited I am for this new season is that I couldn't even wait until the Saturday games. I had to go in with the first one, which is the Friday night. But as you said, listen to the futures episode that we just recorded, and people will know full well that we're all over Burnley this season in pretty much any market that supports them that we can. And we're going to continue that trend. And I think a key indicator at the start of the season is that obviously the clubs that you fancy to do well with your pre-season selections, with your futures, you're going to want to get on side with early doors. I was stunned, and I think you were as well, that when the markets opened for Burnley visiting Huddersfield, the Burnley were with the dogs.
Yeah, mad.
What was that about?
No, I have no idea.
We've seen the market move a bit, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely have it. Unsurprisingly as well. You know, it's always a thing with the first weekend of the season where you have games priced up about 2 months in advance. But yeah, Burnley being priced up the way they were, even before Corbrand left, seemed mad.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, we covered Burnley in depth, but they've just got, obviously, Vincent Kompany's now come into the side. We touched on it previously, the fact that he's gone to what he knows, gone into the Belgium League, picked up some good talent there, gone and got some great talent from his connections at Manchester City. So he's putting a very exciting side together. It's obviously a shift change probably from what Burnley have been renowned for over the last few seasons in the Premier League. Gone and got, say, League One's player of the season last season to come and operate for Burnley as well. You mentioned it in the See in the Future show also, but keeping the likes of Cornet, Dwight McNeil at time of recording, they're still there. So that's a huge boost for Burnley. And I'd go as far to say, as of the three relegated sides, they're the side that are going into this opening weekend of fixtures the most positive and in the best shape.
Yeah. I'm going to look for, I feel like I've spoken about Burnley so much in the last week that if this doesn't come off and they start the season slowly on Friday, it's going to be a long weekend for me.
So, well, the line that really caught my attention is Burnley. We can get Burnley on side minus 0.25 on the Asian handicap at plus 116, which I think is amazing. It gives us a little bit of safety in the fact that obviously they're playing a Huddersfield side that did get to the playoff finals last season. Ultimately lost there, but it's a different Huddersfield side that we're going to go and see on Friday night compared to the one that we last saw at Wembley. Obviously, as you said, Corbyn's gone. Two of probably their best players have departed as well. Obviously gone to Forest in the shape of Harry Toffolo. Excellent as far as that left side is concerned. But you know, I think that the massive miss is going to be in the midfield, and you're going to now remind me of the name that I'm now struggling to find, think the name of, and it is...
Which, with the big miss in midfield?
Yeah.
Lewis O'Brien.
Lewis O'Brien, yeah, we've got it.
Lewis O'Brien, Harry Toffolo, yeah. I mean, there's a few of them who've gone.
Yeah, but I think that's a massive miss in there. So they massively overachieved last season. Obviously, they took the decision to promote from within, haven't they, as far as Corbyn's success is concerned. So it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out. But for me, Burnley minus 0.25 plus 116 looks an exceptional price, given everything that was said about them already.
Yeah, very hard to disagree with that at all. The first selection there for Jack. I'm also going to pick a team, I'm going to pick them to win, effectively. And I'm looking at Millwall to go and beat Stoke. Millwall plus 116 at home to Stoke here. Anyone, again, who listens to the Futures pod will know that I'm pretty keen on Millwall this season, even though they lost Jed Wallace. I think under Gary Rowett, you know exactly what you're going to get. The squad looks very well-rounded at the moment. They brought in a couple of quality additions. They've managed to get Benik Afobe in on a permanent deal. And there is just a level of solidity and consistency with Millwall that makes them always a very attractive team to side with and basically bet on a basis, especially first couple of weekends of the season, I always think are almost my favourite. You get some sports handicappers who don't like betting before there's any data to go with. I think completely the opposite. I think the prices get more and more correct as the season goes on. And at this stage of the season, I feel like my knowledge, my hours of studying this transfer business and everything else means that I might be a little bit ahead of the prices. And that's the case, I think, with Stoke more than anything. Even though I'm happy to get with Millwall, I think Stoke are being priced up as if they're a kind of playoff hopeful side. And from what I'm seeing at the moment, that's not the case. You know, another really disappointing finish last season under Michael O'Neill. They don't seem to me to be a side who particularly strengthened that well over the summer either. You know, we'd normally at this stage of the season look at Stoke and think, yeah, you know what? They've done okay this summer. Then maybe this will be the year they've done it. I'm not really seeing that. I'm not a big fan of bringing in Dwight Gayle. I know he's got a great goal scoring record at this level, but I think you're doing a bit of mental gymnastics or a bit of a leap to think that he's going to come in, slot in, having not played much football, and start scoring goals straight away. Aidan Flint, another one who I think his best days are behind him. Lewis Baker's obviously a classy operator in midfield, as we saw last season. But they're a team that I'm pretty happy to fade as much as possible early in the campaign. And Millwall, as we know, is a very, very difficult place to go. So my first selection there is Millwall plus 116. Jack, where are you going next?
Yeah, Kenilworth Road for me, Luton Town. Really impressed them last season. And similar to yourself, I'm going on the Asian handicap just to get a little bit of extra juice, but minus 0.5. We can get Luton onside at minus 114, which I think is an excellent price, given that their visitors are Birmingham, who are kind of all over the place at the moment. They're in limbo, they're waiting. John Eustace has gone there, obviously. We've talked about him as being a good coach, but at the minute he's kind of hands are tied and he's got to make do with what he's got. You look at, I think you mentioned it then when you were talking about Stoke, but I'm happy to fade Millwall early doors in this campaign. Up front, you're looking at Jonkovic and Troy Deeney. Again, you talk about players that are kind of past their best, then they're probably the poster campaign for that as well. But let's get back to Luton, who I really like. Obviously, made it to the playoffs last season. And again, we've mentioned managers or players that have kind of got a home. And you've got to say that Nathan Jones is Luton Town, really, isn't he? And he's done a fantastic job, given how he left them to go to Stoke, to then get the crowd back on side, because they weren't very happy at that point in time and he was public enemy number one. But obviously, you win games, you get your side playing well, getting him unexpectedly into the playoffs and showing the passion that he did last season has done that. They are now fully on board with him. I was a bit concerned when Carl Naismith went early in the window. Wondered if it would start a bit of an exodus of the talent that, that Luton had and break up that side that had built and done so well last season. But nothing much else has happened on the way out. They brought in the Barnsley pair of Woodrow and Morris, which I think
great signings.
Good. Luke Freeman's interesting. It depends which Luke Freeman gets, but I think this is Nathan Jones, isn't it? He's the guy that will take these sort of challenges on and look to reignite a talent, because Luton can't really buy, you know, Luke Freeman in his prime. Luton wouldn't have been able to be in the market for him, but they've got him now, which is be interesting to see how they operate with him. Matt Macy, giant of a goalkeeper, stands about 6'7", I think, doesn't he? So he's going to put some presence in that area as well. And Alfie Doty as well, which I believe is a long-term target of Jones. So he's finally got him. So it'd be interesting to see. He obviously believes he can get a good tune out of him as well. So a lot of excitement, I think, around Luton. And I've got them competing as well as they did last season and performing as well as they did last season, which would make this price an exceptional price against the Birmingham side that, let's not forget, have finished 17th or lower in the last six seasons.
And I think I'm right in saying that if it wasn't for points deductions, would have been relegated last season as well.
Absolutely right, yeah. They conceded 75 goals last season as well. So not a lot going for them. They're on the eighth full-time manager since that period of time in those six seasons. You can reel them off: Zola, Redknapp, Cottrell, Monk, Clotet, Karanka.
Zola Redknapp sounds like a bit of a Premier League All-Stars player, the team of the season back in 1998.
Exactly, Championship manager 97, 98 or something like that. And finally, the final point for on Luton is that they've lost one, going back to last season, obviously, so taking a little bit of last season's form, lost one of the last 14 at home in the league last season, won eight of those, and last season started the campaign with a 3-0 win over Peterborough, I believe it was, to set the tone for their season. And I am expecting very similar here.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, pretty strong selection that. My second selection is a goals bet. I'm going to Blackpool against Reading and backing the unders at -121. Obvious reasons here. You know, we know that Paul Ince and Reading, there is no way that he is going to set up Reading to be anything else but stubborn. And I think a lot of Reading fans who've been in touch with me over the last day or so say that the plan is just to make them very hard to beat, try and nick goals wherever possible. Crucially, you know, Reading do have the one kind of ace up their sleeve is Lucas Schwau, who on his day, and his day isn't every day, he's one of the most inconsistent strikers going, on his day is one of the best strikers in the Championship. No doubt about that. But he got a pretty nasty injury in a preseason game last week. Not one of those injuries you want to watch back. He basically kicks the floor by mistake and his whole leg bends the wrong way. Yet to see how long he's going to be out for, but I'll be amazed if he plays any part here, which again just furthers the need for Ince to set up his team to be stubborn and to defend. And for Michael Appleton, his first game back in charge of Blackpool, had a very bad, very short stint there about a decade ago. His appointment at Blackpool wasn't met with much joy, it's fair to say, off the back of that. I, as a big fan of his, did a few interviews with the local press to try and persuade them otherwise, that he would be a good appointment for them. But for Appleton, it's all about getting off to a solid start, getting off to a start where, you know, a home defeat on opening day to Reading would be a total and utter disaster for Appleton, trying in his first home game, especially given the state that Reading are in at the moment. I think that for that reason, this is going to be incredibly cagey. I think this is a game where both managers would like to just set up shop, try and nick the odd goal. I can't see any reason why either would throw caution to the wind and let this turn into an end-to-end game at all. So, and even, you know, both teams are probably, in terms of the players they've got, or certainly Blackpool, very, very solid last season under Neil Critchley. And there's no reason, without much change in personnel, why that should be any different. So, I'm playing the unders here in what should be a fairly dour game. I wouldn't put you off backing kind of Blackpool 1-0 as well, maybe if you wanted to side with the home team too. Unders at -121, my second selection on the Championship card. Jack, what you got for us next?
Well, you go unders, I'm going to go overs. So,
what does that say about us?
not at all. But I'm going for Hull versus Bristol City, which to me screams like a really entertaining madcap end-to-end game. The odds on that, I was just checking, 1.96 decibel. So we're looking at really good. I was surprised to see it so high, to be fair, given their records last season. the two head-to-heads last season ended with a total of 9 goals. Five in the last one at Bristol City. But the Hull versus Bristol City game last season ended in a 2-2 draw, which wouldn't be surprised this season. We mentioned Hull again, obviously, in the Futures show a while ago. And the recruitment's been mad. And obviously, the expectation this season, probably from their owner, is pretty high. But they've got some great talent. And with Bristol City coming here, I think their problems last season were keeping the back door shut. They certainly let so many goals in last season. And if they could have done that, it would have been a lot higher. But they've got, again, another player we mentioned previously, Vyman, who I expect to be scoring plenty of goals. He works so well with Chris Martin up front as his foil. Martin, I think, ended last season with the highest amount of average headers won per 90 minutes in the league. So works well there. Semedo as well, assisting him. So I think there's goals in that side. And as we mentioned as well, some of the recruitment from Bristol City would suggest that they're going to be scoring as many, if not more, goals this season. So I can see this one being an open, and in contrast to the one that you then talked about, an open and exciting game. Plenty of goals at both ends. And I think defences of both sides have got proper question marks about them. So as a result of that, I think they've got the talent in forward areas, both recruited and retained from last season, which are going to make the most of that. And I think we should see a few goals here.
Yeah, hopefully a few goals to be had. And I'm sticking with the same game, with a selection in that game and down the goals line as well. Probably the player that I'm most excited to see in the Championship this season, as I mentioned in the Futures pod, is Oscar Estupiñán. Oscar Estupiñán, a Colombian striker who has come in from the Liga NOS, the Primeira Liga in Portugal, having scored 15 goals in 28 games last season, 16 and 33 in all competitions. He's also in the past scored 7 and 28 in the Super League, the Turkish Super League, I should say. And he's signed for Hull on a 3-year deal. Now, anybody who watches a lot of Portuguese football can't really believe this. They see it as a massive coup. He was on a free transfer. They signed him to a 3-year deal. And having watched a lot of videos of him now, he seems to be a left-footed striker who can score goals with his left foot, his right foot, and especially with his head. And I think there's a fair chance here that Estupiñán could be too good for the level, basically. And when that is the case, I think you've got to act fast before the value goes. I agree with you that Hull look to be, this game should contain goals. And for that reason, I'm looking to back him in. I'm probably going to back him in all three, first, last, and any time. But I'm going to go Oscar Estupiñán to score first at 5-10. Actually, probably leave out the last because, a new striker coming in, maybe he'll only get 60 minutes, given the way the players are often eased in. But I think that's a decent price for a guy who is literally on the pitch just to score goals. The whole team will be built around trying to get him the ball in the box. I would say that normally goals at the top level of Portuguese football translate pretty well across to other major European leagues. So you shouldn't have any issues in the Championship. 25 years old as well. So there's no chance this is an old player coming to the end of his career. This is a guy bang at it at the moment. So a player I'm excited to see, and a player that I'm going to back this weekend pretty much blind, except for YouTube videos. Not as bad as last season when I tipped up a player called Dan Enlundulu to be top goal scorer in League One, having never seen him play, purely because Michael Appleton's record with Lonese is so good. He barely played for Lincoln, so that was a bit of a blow. So this one hopefully goes better than that.
This is different. This is different. Yeah, well, a striker different that can score with his left, his right, and his head.
Sounds like you, mate.
Starting point.
Yeah.
I just checked on the odds. Over 2.5, by the way, is -105.
There you go. -105 for overs. And then Estupiñán hopefully gets one of those goals if you do go over. This show every week is going to be majority Championship. We are also going to be looking at League One and League Two as well. So I'm going to quickly run through the games that we haven't yet spoken about at all. And then we'll get into League One and League Two. You've got Wigan hosting Preston. Wigan +133. First game back in the Championship after 2 years in League One, up against Preston, who are +200. The tie +188. Rotherham versus Swansea. Rotherham back in the championship. Spoiler alert, though, Jack's tip to finish bottom from the futures pod, they're 190 plus 190. Swansea plus 116, hoping for a good second season under Russell Martin, and the tie plus 225. Cardiff hosting Norwich, former Norwich player Steve Morrison is the manager of Cardiff, his first full campaign, plus 200. They are Norwich back in the championship, title favourites, plus 118. Sure, that'll be popular with plenty of people. But Jack, Norwich fan, shaking his head at the price as I say it there as well. And then we have Blackburn hosting QPR. Have we done that yet? I don't think we have. Blackburn minus 105, QPR plus 245, first game for Michael Beale in charge there. And then we've got Hull, Bristol City we've done, Blackpool Reading we've done, Borough hosting West Brom, two of the fancy teams in the championship this season. Middlesbrough seemingly set to sign Marcus Force before Saturday's game, which is crucial because they do seem to be lacking a striker. Borough plus 107. Baggies under Steve Bruce with a pretty good-looking front line, but doubts maybe about the manager from some quarters, myself and Jack included. Plus 220, they are there, the tie, the same price, plus 220. Then on Sunday, Sunderland, finally, their exile out of the top two leagues is over. Alex Neil leading them up through the playoffs back into the championship. They're plus 148. Coventry, so solid under Mark Robbins, plus 155. A tight game expected at the Stadium of Light. Sunderland marginal favourites. The tie, plus 215. And then a cracking game on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Watford are plus 112. Sheffield United, plus 215. The tie, plus 215 as well. Again, two of the fancy teams taking each other on. It feels like a weekend full of really interesting fixtures where we're set to learn a lot. Do check out the BetRivers site for plenty more markets on all those games as well. But we're going to go to League One now. I've got a bet in League One. Jack has got a bet in League Two. Mine comes between Ipswich Town versus Bolton. Now, Ipswich are the second favourites for promotion out of League One this season. It's hard to think of a club who have spent more money trying to get out of League One in recent times than Ipswich. It did not go to plan last season. Paul Cook was sacked a couple of months into the campaign. Kieran McKenna, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's former right-hand man at Manchester United, was brought in. And the signs were pretty good. Pretty good, I would say. Like they were defensively incredibly solid. Teams effectively struggled to really create anything against them. But they didn't finish the season. You know, they didn't really hit the line particularly hard towards the end of the season. Maybe when the playoff chances went, they were... the performances dipped a little bit, and I'm not quite ready to get as on side with them as some people are. They brought in some eye-catching players yet again. Marcus Harness should be a very good addition from Portsmouth. They're paying over £1 million, it seems, for Leif Davis from Leeds, which is staggering money for that level, especially for someone who couldn't get into the Bournemouth side last season on loan. And when they've already brought in a very, very capable League One left-back in Greg Lee from Morecambe, I'm surprised to see them do that. But it just seems mightily short. It's a very short price, minus 109 at home to a Bolton side who ended last season in incredible form. Under Ian Everett, have progressed incrementally as kind of blocks of time go on. Haven't lost any key players apart from Marlon Fossey, who was a big player for them on loan at the back end of last season. In Dion Charles, they have a player that I think is well set to be one of the top goal scorers in the league next season. And there was very little to choose between the two last season. And I think at this stage, I'd much rather be with the side who have continuity, who have basically the same team as they ended the season with, and they finish better than an Ipswich side who have players coming in. They need to reset, regel, high turnover. So I just think that it's a very, very short price for Ipswich. So I'm looking to back Bolton draw no better, plus 175 is the way that I'm looking to play this one. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Ipswich do, over the course of the season, get to a level where they are vying for automatic promotion or winning the league. But I just think on opening day, it's a very, very difficult game for them to have first up, and they shouldn't be odds on to win it. You've got one for us in League Two before we let you go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going for Walsall in League Two. And this is based pretty much along what we were mentioning earlier, as far as that I Walsall have got as my dark horses. And the reason behind that is their manager, Michael Flynn, who I'm a big fan of, was at Newport in the same level, had three and a bit seasons at Newport, guided them to the playoffs in two of those seasons. So he then left because of not being backed or just, kind of wanted a fresh challenge, etc. And I expected to see him either in League One or certainly in the higher echelons of League Two. And to see him then rock up at a lower ranking Walsall side was a bit of an eyebrow raiser for me, to be honest. And then there was some American investment in Walsall last month, and potentially then the jigsaw pieces began to fit into place. So I assume that there'll be a little bit of scope there for Flynn to mould his side into how he wants it to be. But he kind of steadied the ship last season. He's now had his first full pre-season. And as I said, I've got Walsall marked down as my dark horses to challenge to get into those playoffs, especially, say, with a guy that knows his way around this division very, very, very well. They've recruited a couple of very solid, certainly say experienced professionals. They managed to pick up Peter Clark from Tranmere, who is, I believe, 40 now, but he certainly is getting towards that.
Peter Clark and Andy Williams as well, 75 years between them.
Yes, experience, certainly more experience.
Just 2 years less than me and you, isn't it? and I'm 21, so...
thanks, George.
Because that would be in breach of the 25 and over policy, so just to confirm, I'm 31. Backtrack. So, there we go.
I'm over 31 as well, that's fine. But, I think with Andy Williams, I think they brought in a bit of a lucky mascot, really. He's already been promoted three times out of League Two with three separate clubs. So I think they just brought him on board just for the promotion part at the end of the season. So we'll see if he can make it a remarkable fourth promotion with four different clubs. But, I think Walsall are set up really well. And you made a point earlier, and this is one that I earmarked for this game, is that if this game and the season pans out how I expect it to, was happening in about 6 weeks' time, I think would be getting very much an odds on Walsall taking on this Hartlepool side, who I do fear for this season. Again, I've got them earmarked to be certainly fighting relegation. I've actually backed them to get relegated out of League Two. They had a awful start to last season. They finished 17th, but that was only thankful to the fact they had a fairly decent start. They won one of their last 12 games, which was a super poor ending. Interim manager came in, lost four of the last five, Graham Lee, which ruined any chances of him keeping the job. So I think mainly for the Bants, they brought in Paul Hartley.
Bants? he's got four promotions under his belt in seven seasons, the poor bloke.
He has, but it works though, doesn't it? Paul Hartley at Hartlepool. So, Alloa, Dundee, Falkirk and Cove is his history, and he's gone back to his kind of where he knows as far as his recruitment's concerned. So, an interesting appointment, but I've got them marked down as struggling this season. They've lost Luke Molyneux, top scorer last season as well. A couple of others that have exited. So, I think they could be in for a tough campaign. And that's going to start with a defeat at Walsall.
Great stuff. There you have it. All of our tips there. I'll quickly read out mine. And then, Jack, you go through yours. Just a recap. Millwall plus 116 in my selection in their opener. Under 2.5 goals in Blackpool versus Reading at minus 121. Oscar Estupinian.
You're going to back him every week just so you can say his name.
Well, I've backed him top goal scorer, so I don't think I need to. At plus 510, and then in League One, Bolton draw no bet at Ipswich at so that's plus zero on the Asian handicap at plus 175. Jack, what you got for us?
So I've gone Burnley minus 0.25 at plus 116 in the Championship. In the Championship, still Luton minus 0.5 on the Asian handicap at minus 114. Over 2.5 goals in Hull versus Bristol City, which I believe I said was minus 195. In League Two, Walsall to beat Hartlepool at plus 212.
There you have it. That brings our Game Week 1 Betting Weekly English Championship show to a close. Do subscribe to the Bet Rivers Network YouTube channel now, and please leave a review or a comment below on your thoughts on what we have said. So we're going to be here every week previewing the Championship, League One and League Two action. So make sure you do subscribe either on YouTube or also on any podcast platform as well. You can listen to us nattering away and giving our thoughts on YouTube, on podcasts as well. And this year, we're going to be keeping a track of our P&L as well. So we'll be going through that. So there's nowhere to hide for Jack and I. It means that if we're not doing too well, we'll have to buck our ideas up. And if we are, then we can be hailed as geniuses of the EFL football. Also, you should follow the Twitter handle at Because We Win. It's a new Twitter handle, and both of us and all the other sports handicappers on there, we're going to be managing it. We'll be promoting our shows there, and you can see it, find our own personal Twitter accounts there as well. So do go and follow that at Because We Win. Thank you very much for taking the time to watch this. Do check out the BetRivers site for all of your betting needs as well. And most importantly, do enjoy the first weekend of action. It promises to be an absolute cracker.